I'm John Batchelor with Jessica Malugin, director of the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're speaking of MAGA antitrust, acknowledged to be a catch-all by Andrew Ferguson, the new chairman of the Federal Trade Commission, MAGA antitrust. Having established Lina Khan as the driver of neo-Brandeisian thinking at the previous FTC, I moved from the Amazon case to one that's ongoing right now as an example, because I'm not being an economist. I can only think in terms of specifics. I need to look at something before I understand at least a little bit of the argument. Under review right now, continuing on in the first 100 days and afterward, is a case brought by the FTC, or at least involving the FTC, against the very successful Mark Zuckerberg and his work, now called Meta. And as I understand it, this turns on the acquisition of something small that Mr. Zuckerberg saw as competitive. Jessica, is it instructive that MAGA Enterprise continues this case quite independent of its thinking, or is this a way of talking about MAGA antitrust as a mix of things?
It certainly is a mix of things, but I think the Meta example is a really helpful one in understanding where the differences turn from our current FTC and from the previous, but also where there's a lot of overlap. The Meta case was actually originally brought by the first Trump administration in the last weeks in December. So that was, if you'll recall, after an election that Donald Trump had lost and has been very public still to this day, but certainly then, about what he believed Meta and Facebook's role in that loss of election was. What amount of political influence the case had there, I am not privy to, but it seems likely to say that it was at least some. And then when Lina Khan and the Biden administration came in, for very different reasons, they were very happy to continue that case against Meta. You know, their concerns weren't so much about the political bias of the company or what they felt was the company's political bias against conservatives online that you might attribute to the former and current Trump administration. But the Lina Khan Biden administration was very concerned about the size of Meta. And this is a very traditional neo-Brandeisian concern. They were big, and big corporations are something they view with real skepticism and concern that market power translates into undue political influence, among other social ills. So for very different reasons, we've had a strange continuity from Trump 1 to Biden to Trump 2 in terms of pursuing the Meta case, which just turns around the decades-old acquisition from then, it was called Facebook, where they purchased a messaging app called WhatsApp. And of course, the now very popular Instagram, which at the time was sort of a buggy little photo sharing app that Mark Zuckerberg was made fun of for purchasing at the cost he did by a lot of late night TV hosts. I don't think anyone would have at the time said this is a big competitive threat to Facebook if they don't buy it and take it in-house. And Facebook and now Meta have done a wonderful job in making it one of the most beloved apps in the world.
Yes. Now, here's the puzzle for me. And this is not in your essay, so I'm asking a question that might not have an answer. Many small firms, say AI now, I'm very familiar with the startups. They're everywhere. There's a new book, AI Valley, by a journalist who helps me understand the startups. Many startups have in their mind, when we perfect this, we're going to be bought and get rich. And that happens in every sector of high tech. Isn't that what happened to Meta? Comes along with all that money and starts buying people who are waiting for it?
Yes, that's exactly what happened. And we can know that for sure because we can ask the founders of Instagram what exactly they were thinking. And they'll tell you just that. They will tell you, they've said in interviews that having Facebook purchase them was like strapping a rocket to Instagram. And they were all of a sudden privy to engineering knowledge and financial resources and distribution that they really said they would have found basically to be impossible to think of doing on their own. And as you point out, it's incredibly common. There's actually a book called VC, Venture Capital Funding for Dummies. And in the VC for Dummies book, it will tell you that one of the things you need to do if you are looking to get funding for your startup is you need to have a list for your presentation to funders about who you think might buy you in the future, because that exit is a return on their investment and in that way an incentive for people to invest. So this isn't some, you know, nefarious scheme that these companies buy these little guys up. They often want their human talent. They want their innovation. And the great news for a lot of these startup founders is that they can take their money and they can go back and do another startup, because there's a lot of really smart, interesting entrepreneurs who love to found a company, but they don't love to scale it. And the great news for consumers about that is we get so much more innovation because of that virtuous cycle of funding. So that's an example of something the neo-brandeisians would have looked at and thought, oh, we don't like this big company eating up this little one. Their preference would be for every little company to grow up big on its own. But that isn't necessarily always the most efficient path economically, and it's not always the happiest for the founders. There's a lot of serial founders in Silicon Valley who really love the early stages. And we wouldn't want to shut that cycle off because we're overly concerned about these acquisitions.
So we come to MAGA antitrust. We can say what it's not. It's not Lina Khan. Okay. But saying what it is difficult because the Meta suit is Trump and continuing under Trump. They could dismiss that suit. Now I saw Mr. Zuckerberg getting into a limousine, very unhappy looking fellow after testifying in some proceeding. You have a wonderful metaphor of our favorite hound, golden retriever in your metaphorical case, who would be a Springer Spaniel in mine, deciding to walk through a board game you're trying to learn the rules of on the floor. Okay, is that MAGA antitrust? Whatever.
I'm afraid I have to admit, take responsibility for Donald Trump being the golden retriever in that, because I think whatever the parameters and specifics of the approach of MAGA antitrust, which has some neo-Brandeisian elements and it has some consumer welfare elements, the willingness of this FTC to be subservient to the executive is something also new for the FTC. Right. The FTC is an independent agency. The extent of its independence is a controversial question and probably will make an appearance before the Supreme Court with Humphrey's executor. But Andrew Ferguson, currently in charge of the FTC, has been very clear, and specifically when asked about the Meta case, that if the president asked him to settle the case, he would feel obligated to obey those orders from the executive and do that. So, you know, the point of the golden retriever metaphor was just to say whatever the rules are, there's quite aptly called a Trump card at work as well.
What I like is I'm sure the president would enjoy being compared to a golden retriever. It's a beautiful
It's a pretty dog.
Yes, it is.
It's a beautiful dog.
Jessica Malugin, writing for the Civitas Outlook. She's director of Center for Technology and Innovation at the Competitive Enterprise Institute.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,